We have plans, don't we, kids? We have plans. And I think there were some grown-ups who volunteered to supervise here a little bit. Yeah, you're just going to take pictures. What are we going to do today? We're going to cut my hair. You know, sometimes you have friends at school that they may not have the fancy clothes, or they may not have the cool hairstyle, or they may not say the right things, but you know what? God still loves them. So we're going to make a point that no matter what my hair looks like, God still loves me. So we have scissors up here. Come over here and pick out your scissors, kids. Pick out ones that you like, ones that'll fit your hands. Okay. Who's helping here? I didn't hear you say this. Okay, what we're going to do, kids, is we're going to cut in between the rubber bands. Okay? That way, this comes off as a little ponytail, and then I've still got hair. Okay? Because I'd like to have at least a little bit. No. We're not changing the
later.
No, we're not. No, we have to come up with something as what you can actually do. Okay. So I think one of you may be over here. Rebecca, can you help over here? And Eileen over here.
Okay.
And so everybody gets to cut.
She said between the rubber bands.
Between the rubber bands, yes. Yeah. So everybody gets to cut. Slide the lower one down a little bit so I don't lose more hair. Good job. I think there's plenty.
There's plenty.
Yeah, I tried to make small ponytails.
All right. I guess she's going to donate.
Well, you might, if it's too thick, you could probably stick your scissors in between the...
Hang on to that.
Why don't you start here?
Please, would you pray with me?
Creator, sustaining God, we thank you for all that we are and for all that we have. Help us to see flower and hawk, river and field through your eyes. Help us to feel your tender love for every child, every woman, every man. Bless you for loving us all. Jesus, Shepherd, Redeemer, help us to keep learning your lessons. Help us to forgive, to visit, to heal, to love as you do. May we lean on you in the scary parts. May we sense your wholeness, your healing touch when we hurt. May we always know our home is with you. Spirit, holy breath, renew us, restore us, inspire us to godly courage in a vision as big and bold as you, as bright and beautiful as peace itself. We pray all this in the silent prayers of our hearts in the name of Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. And from Psalm 145, verses 13 to 18. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. The Lord is faithful in all words and gracious in all deeds. The Lord upholds all who are falling and raises up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food in due season. You open your hand, satisfying the desire of every living thing. The Lord is just in all ways and kind in all doings. The Lord is near to all who call, to all who call in truth. Here ends the reading from Psalm 145. My message this morning is called Everlasting. Dominion. My Webster's dictionary tells me dominion is the power or right of governing or controlling. Definition 2, rule, control, domination. 3, the territory of a single ruler. Dominion. According to the Genesis 1 reading, then God said, let us make humankind in our image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the wild animals of the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. Dominion is rule over something or someone. In this Genesis passage, God gives humanity dominion over creation. And what might that mean? Well, if you listened closely to the Genesis 1 passage, you might have noticed that animals and people are given plants to eat. Just plants. Kind of interesting to ponder lions and leopards eating apples and alfalfa, eh? But that did change after Noah. So we are given dominion over creation. How does God exercise dominion? The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food in due season. You open your hand, satisfying the desire of every living thing. The Lord is just in all ways and kind in all doings. So says Psalm 145. Every living thing. God cares for all with justice and kindness. You know, we might look around, see a hawk eating a bunny, and think, well, that doesn't look very kind to the bunny. No, it doesn't. But have you ever watched rabbits leaping and hopping around your yard? Do they seem worried, fretful? Or do they look clover-fed, healthy, and carefree? And mama bunnies produce enough little ones that they always have plenty. And so do the hawks. And the hawk perched on a wire understands a world with plenty of mice and bunnies to be a just and kind place to raise his little feathered babies. God set up a marvelous world with balance and cycles that work well year after year. The water seeping out of your septic tank evaporates to return one day as rain to work itself into your garden and run off into streams and lakes, and return again someday as groundwater, which comes out of your faucet perhaps years later. In fact, there is 100 times more groundwater sitting in the sand and gravel below our feet than in all the world's lakes and rivers. Aren't we blessed? Even in the driest places in Africa, new ultra-deep wells are finding fresh water for thirsty people, God's thirsty people. You open your hand, satisfying the desire of every living thing. God's realm is a just, everlasting realm. How shall we cooperate? There are different kinds of good news that happens no matter what, and good news that is ours to participate in. Will we cooperate? Algae, zooplanktons, and dead dinosaurs compressed beneath sedimentary rock for millions of years make petroleum, which is very handy for keeping us warm in our snowy climates and allowing us to work, live, and shop in distant places. But if every one of God's people all over the world drove a Hummer all day long, the petroleum would soon be gone, and the atmosphere would soon heat up and make most of the planet unlivable. Petroleum. The city of San Francisco just banned disposable water bottles, plastic bottles made of petroleum. They need not be trashed every time we take a drink. The city participated in Creation Care, the abundant good news. They chose to reduce the bottles showing up in the ocean, the bottles piling up in landfills. When those of us in rich, developed countries see ourselves as connected to all living things, all of God's creation, all of God's children everywhere, we consider how we might ensure there is enough for all. Typically, an American will use up 2 new giant trees in a lifetime just for toilet paper. What if instead we recycled every newspaper, every ad, every bit of school paper, catalog, magazine, and junk mail? And then what if we bought 100% recycled paper for our computer printers and our bums? What if we looked at God's cycles, God's bountiful, efficient ways, and did likewise? In our family, every banana peel, coffee filter filled with grounds, and dirty paper from the birdcage goes in the compost bin. The insects and worms are hard at work turning apple cores into rich brown soil. Magical how God balances old and new in that pile of garbage next to your shiny green tomato plants. Old becomes new. Manure becomes fertilizer. The wheels on the bus go round and round. We exercise wise dominion as God does, sharing, cooperating in the natural cycles. Kinds of blessings vary, our opportunities to participate, such as using the recycled bulletins that otherwise would have been thrown away. Where we lived in Northeast Ohio, the wind almost never stopped. A wind turbine there, which I always wanted one, the wind turbine there might have paid that mortgage. The nation of Iceland is situated over a volcano. Thus, geothermal power supplies a fourth of the country's electricity, with water power, hydroelectric, making the rest. Geothermal heat warms 87% of Iceland's buildings. But we do not live on a volcano. No, but more and more people where we live are taking advantage of our modest geothermal heat and our inexhaustible solar and wind powers. Consider all the sources of energy around us. Which are better for sharing, for caring, for all our sisters and brothers? Ain't that good news? Since the realm of God is everlasting, which materials protect and provide forever and ever? How do I share in God's generous, just, and kind dominion? We all grew up with beef roasts on Sunday, hamburgers, sausage, meatloaf, pork roast, fried chicken every other night. If you knew that animals eating grain and our eating animals used much more fertilizer, water, and grain than if we ate protein directly from grain, if it would mean more food for God's every living thing, would you eat less meat? Fair trade allows poor people to work their way out of poverty. That's how Bill and I first got involved in it. What a wonderful mission. Another benefit, however, is how international fair trade regulations protect the environment in multiple ways. The worst agricultural and manufacturing chemicals are forbidden in fair trade, kinder on the environment, kinder to those who produce the products. If a producer in Malaysia were to import American oak to make ornaments to sell back to us, how much fuel is wasted in those shipments? Instead, producers use palm trees, bamboo shell, rainforest seeds, or even recycled trash to make unique, beautiful gifts. Use it up, wear it out, make it do, or do without. I'll bet some of you heard that at home. Conservatively, wisely using our gifts, taking nothing for granted. Being frugal can be part of exercising wise dominion. I don't need to buy that. When speaking about fair trade, I once asked a class of teenagers, what happens to most of everything we buy? It gets thrown away, several of them answered. Indeed, most of what we buy becomes landfill, unless we think, unless we believe we have a God-given responsibility to wisely use all God's gifts. In response to organics decades ago, farmers began what was called integrated pest management. Simply using pesticides when they are actually called for reduced the toxins we all share. Research on organic farms showed that the plants grown in long-term organic soil are better able to resist disease and insects. Cooperating with God's balance and natural cycle gives surprising benefits. Consumer Reports and others tell us which organic fruits and vegetables are most crucial to buy for our children and their brain development. But what if we are children of God concerned as our Creator is about every living thing? The Lord is faithful in all words and gracious in all deeds. The Lord upholds those who are falling and raises up all who are bowed down. What if we thought not just about our children, but the children of farm workers who spend their days picking or packing those crops? If you saw pictures of the algae bloom overloading Lake Erie last year, you might have stopped spraying your dandelions and crabgrass. And yes, the lawn service can cut your grass without feeding it, no matter what they say. And some changes take no extra time. Switching to a more efficient light bulb when the old ones burn out. No more effort, and from that moment on, lower electric bills and less pollution from power plants. We've got a bulb to hand out to each of you as you leave. As with everything else I preach, This is my best word, my learned wisdom. From time to time, the Holy One, I spend that time and looking around God's dominion at God's people. Perhaps God has a different word for your household. No, preacher, you may say, this environmental stuff is not a church issue. No. Poor farmers in Mexico cannot choose organic or chemical farming for their families. They depend on us. Poor families along the coast in Honduras cannot choose whether to have plastic bags and bottles wash up on their shores. They depend on us. That is a justice issue. In Luke 11, Jesus denounces those who neglect justice. But woe to you, Pharisees, for you tithe mint and rue and herbs of all kinds and neglect justice and the love of God. It is these you ought to have practiced without neglecting the others. In other words, faith is not about what we toss in the plate on Sunday, but how kindly and fairly we conduct our daily lives. Justice is God's love distributed. How we eat, what we buy, and what we throw away affects every other living thing in Yahweh's big, beautiful blue marble. And another caution, just as everything else, none of us is perfect. Sometimes I remember my water bottle and sometimes I forget. We might recycle nearly every scrap of paper, tin, aluminum, cardboard, glass, and plastic in the house and then look at that old bottle of yucky salad dressing and toss it in the trash. We remember to return our cloth shopping bags to the trunk 95% of the time and then we forget. Yet when we remember, when we reduce our waste, when we reduce our harm on the atmosphere, our burden on our neighbors near and far, we participate in a sacred balance and loving care. We share in the kingdom, God's everlasting realm. We exercise dominion as does our heavenly parent. The eyes of all look to you and you give them their food in due season. You open your hands, satisfying the desire of every living thing. The Lord is just in all ways and kind in all doings. Amen.